Gemara Erubin has been sponsored by Mr. Isaac Jamal and his wife Celia for their success, for their children's success, health, happiness, beracha, parnasa, v'hatzlacha, bechol ma'aseh yedehem. Daf Kof Aleph. Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Isaac Shchebad in honor of his parents, Jack and Marilyn Shchebad. Hashem Alehem Yehiyu, Amen. Today's daf is being studied the Anu Nishmat, Hacham Baruch Rafael ben Miriam, and Abraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Terichem Began Eden, Amen. We are beginning today's daf on Daf Kuf Aleph at the Mishnah, on the top of the daf. And the Mishnah now is going to discuss a new topic, the use of doors on Shabbat. Meaning, is it permissible to close and open doors on Shabbat? Obviously, we're not talking about regular doors. They're in specific situations. And the issue is going to be the problem of boneh and soter. In the olden days, they used to have like planks that they used to have in front of the door. And they would just, you know, stuff up the hole with a plank. So that would be similar to constructing. And therefore, the Gemara is going to tell us the different conditions in order to make it permissible or not. Then we begin. Hadelet shebemukseh. Now, mukseh is the backyard of a house. They used to have like a little courtyard in the backyard, like a shed area, exactly, where they used to store things. And, of course, it wasn't used that often, like the front or the chatzer was. And therefore, they only made a temporary door for this mukseh. And the Gemara is going to explain to us the ramifications. The first case, hadelet shebemukseh, let's read Rashi. Rehava she'achorei abatim. Umeshum ache nakatla, mishum she'en mishtamshim batadir. It's not so used so commonly. Ve'en ba'al habayit choshesh la'asot la delet tiluya kara'uy. A normal door is suspended. It's not hitting the ground. When you open it and close it, it's easy. Ve'kavua and establish it. Ela zikufa kenegat apeta. They just stand up a plank against the door of the shed. Ushu poteyach, and when he opens it, what does he do? Matila la'aris. He just drops it down on the floor. The yesh shetiluyot, and some people also hang it. They hang it against the top of the, you know, the mukseh. Aban nigrarot la'aris. But still, it's dragging on the ground. So even if it's attached, it's not like a regular door. In some of the picture books, they have that, just so you get a picture, not that you need a picture of this really. You just saw the door over here with a latch on top hanging, and it's dragged on the floor. Okay, so the Mishnah continues. The hadakim would be like a bundle of thorns. Shebepirtza. You have, let's say, a breach. Okay, one of the walls. And you want to clog up the breach, so they take a bundle of thorns and they stick it in the pirza. Umahsalot. Mahsalot would be like mats made out of reeds. En no'alin bahim. All three, the common denominator is, you cannot use them on Shabbat to close the door because it is considered boneh. It looks like you are constructing. Okay? Rashi. En no'alin ba, be Shabbat. Mishum da'avid binyam, either because it is actual boneh, or afilu kishi tiluya v'negreret, and even in the case where, let's say, it's hanging from the doorpost, but it's leaning on the ground, en ze kevua, it's really not considered permanent, ushu magbiha ala mashkof, when you lift it up to stuff up the door, it looks like boneh. So therefore, Rashi is giving you two dinim over here. He's telling you, when it's not attached at all, and it's just hanging on the ground, and you lift it up and you put it into the hole, that's regular, outright boneh. When it's attached, that's more like a door, but it's not permanent. And therefore, when you lift it up to close up the hole, it's domeh le boneh. So there's two dinim that are said. Let's read the next Rashi. The hadakim shebepirtza, kotzim, thorns, שעשאם חבילות, he made bundles out of them, ותקינם לסתום בין פרצה, ופעמים שהוא פותחה. Now sometimes you open up the פרצה as well, you want to, I guess, walk through. So they would also take it out. ומחסלת של קנים שקוראים גלידה. Okay, so that is the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, אין נועלין בהם, אלא אם כן, unless גבוהים מן הארץ. Unless they are off the ground, which means the door or the thorns or the reed, they're tied into a bundle, let's say, and they're hung on to the meshkof, to the doorpost, let's say from Friday, and they're above the ground even when you open it, which means when you open it, it's like a regular door that we have. It's not resting on the floor. Then already it's a regular delit that is prepared for opening and closing, and therefore it's mutar to open and close it on Shabbat. Comes the Gemara and says, a stira from our Mishnah to a Braita. Urminhu, we have a contradiction. Delet hanigreret. What is that? You have a door that's suspended by the doorpost, and the bottom of the door is dragging on the ground. So how would you close it? You have to lift it up and put it in the hole, right? Now, when you open it up, it just falls to the ground, and now it's just leaning on the ground. Called delet hanigreret. Vekankan hanigrar. What is umahaselet hanigreret? That's the mat. Same thing. That's used as a door, but it's dragging on the ground. Vekankan hanigrar. What is kankan hanigrar? Now, the kankan is a certain type of keli that was used to hold a mahrisha. Mahrisha is like a plow. So it seems there used to be an attachment to this plow called the kankan. And they use this kankan, they take it off, they use it to clog up the door. Okay? So what's the deen? Kankan and the grad. Also, it's dragging on the ground. Bizman shekishurin. When it's tied to the roof of the mukseh, of the shed, utluyin, meaning it's suspended, not totally in the air, but it's dragging a little on the ground. Nu'alim, bahem b'shabbat. You're allowed to use it on Shabbat. Ve'en sarich lomar b'yom tov. And it goes without saying, if it's permissible on Shabbat, of course the laws of Yom Tov are more lenient. On Shabbat, the punishment is karet, or sikila. On Yom Tov, it's only a lav. It's only a lo ta'aseh. So therefore, whatever is going to be permissible on Shabbat in Yan Boneh and Soter will be permissible on Yom Tov. Rashi, kan, hu kli shu hazim bo me'achorei ha-machrisha. It seems that they hold the plow with this keli. Kishen chorshin, yesh shenu alinu ma'amidim oto b'mkom delet. Some people use the kankan instead of a door. Can they get the petah? Yeah, when the door was, they, close it up. Bezman shekishurin v'tiluyim, here's the question, alma, Atiluyinu dekapid, which is all you're concerned about to be kosher to close it on Shabbat is it's hung from the doorpost. Abal agivuhim min haaretz lo chayish, which means it doesn't say anywhere in this braita that there to be gavoa min haaretz. Our Mishnah said the only time it's permissible is what? That if it's hung and also above the ground, then it's considered like a regular door that's made for opening and closing. But our Mishnah clearly said if it's dragging on the ground is going to be asur on Shabbat. What do you mean? You have a braita over here that just says, once it's hung to the door, even if it's dragging on the floor, it's permissible. So we have a direct stira between Mishnah and braita. Amar Abaye. Abaye and Rava are going to give two answers. How to reconcile. Amar Abaye. B'sheyesh lahem tzir. The braita that said it's permissible is talking about where it has a hinge. And therefore, if it has a hinge, even if it's resting on the floor a little, it looks like a door. What's the shot of hinge? So, on the top, let's say, they put a little piece over there to attach it to the doorpost. And on the bottom as well. So if you have it seen, even though it's dragging a little, but it's more kavua, like a regular door, so it's considered attached already. So it's not like you're attaching something foreign, which would be considered like Bone. That's the way he answers the Braita. Our Mishnah, the other one, was talking about no tzidi, no hinges. Therefore, it's got to really look like a door. How? It's got to be off the ground. Like a regular door that when you open it, it's not touching anything, as opposed to dragging. Rava Amar, Rava comes along and gives a different answer. B'shehaya lahin sir. He's more lenient. He says, you don't actually have to have a hinge. Even if it had a hinge, so it's noticeable that there was a hinge in this door once. And if it's noticeable that this door over here is more door-like. Why? Because of the hinge that it had, even though it doesn't have it now. Whereas our Mishnah is talking about where it never had a hinge at all. Let's read Rashi. Kishiyesh lahem tzir. Demucha milta dedelet gimurahi. When you have a hinge, it's clearly that's a door. It's not bone. It's hung to the doorpost, but hinges. That Rabba, kishaya lahim sir. Ve'afagav de'ashta leka, even though now you don't have hekera hu de'ika, but you do have a heker. So those are the two answers, Abaye and Rabba. Comes the Gemara and asks, on both Abaye and Rabba. Metibe. We have a question from the following writer. Delet hanigreret, umahaselet hanigreret, vekankan hanigrar. All three cases, they're dragged, right? They're dragging on the ground. Bizman shekishurin utluyin, when it's tied to the doorpost, ugbohi minaares, and it's also elevated from the ground, afilu melo nima, even a hair's breadth, it's off the ground, no'alim bahim. Then already you can close the door with it. Vim lav, en no'alim bahim. But if not, it's asur. So the question over here is, it seems here, even though it's hung on the doorpost, still the braita necessitates it to be gavoa mina'aris. So now the question they're asking is, according to the previous braita that we just learned, if it's hung from the doorpost, so therefore, according to Abaye and Rabba, we said, even if it's touching on the ground, it's okay. How is Abaye and Rabba going to answer this? Well, obviously the answer is going to be, they're going to have to introduce hinges. So the Gemara says, Abaye mitaretz ha-tameh, v'Rabba mitaretz ha-tameh. Each rabbi will interpret according to his reasoning. Abaye mitaretz ha-tameh. Abaye will explain according to his reasoning. O sheyesh lahem tzir. It's two cases the Braita is saying. Meaning, it's attached to the doorpost. If it's attached to the doorpost, it doesn't, and it has a hinge, it can even be nigrar. So the Braita is saying two cases. Tiluim hung with a tzir, o shehem givohim min haaretz. Or if it's off the ground, you don't even need a hinge. Which means when the Braita says the Lashon, bizman shekishurin utluim ugbohim, the ugbohim is o givohim. U can mean o, meaning it's two cases. So Abaye will tell you, what are the two cases of the Braita? If the door is dragging on the ground, the only way to use that door on Shabbat is what? If there's a hinge. Because now it's messy like a door. Or, if you don't have a hinge, if the door is elevated from the ground, that looks like a regular door as well. So Abaye can answer the Braita according to Shita. Again, O Shiesh Lahem Sir, O Shigivuhim in Aris. Rabba Metaretz Tameh. And Rabba will say the same thing. He'll just say that the case of talui, where it's dragging on the ground, that's okay, is talking where it had a sir. Yeah, so it's noticeable. Or it is elevated from the ground, and when it's elevated from the ground, you don't need even a hinge, because that looks like a regular door. So easy answer. The basic answer to the Braita is, when it says ooh, it means o. That's the key of the answer. That ugboin is a new case. It's a separate scenario. Comes the Gemara now and is going to discuss other cases of doors.
Tanu Rabbanan. We have a Braita. Soche kotsim. Soche literally means like branches of kotsim, of like thorns. The havilin. Havilin like bundles of reeds. Shitkinan lefirsa shebehaser. You prepared them in order to, you know, seal up a breach in the wall of the hasir. Bizman shikishudin. When they're tied to the wall, utluyin, and they're suspended, they're hanging off the wall, no'alim bahim. It's permissible to use them as a door, b'shabbat, ve'en sarich lomar b'yom tov. And it goes without saying, on yom tov. Okay, that's consistent with what we just said. So long as it's off the ground, therefore it's considered like a regular door, hinges do not need to be introduced, according to anybody. And if it's mutar, if it's mutar on Shabbat, certainly it's mutar on Yom Tov. Tane Rabbi Hiya, delet almana. What is a delet almana? Literally a widowed door. The way that she explains it is a door that is missing some of the normal components that a door has. That she's not shown is delet shehi almana metikuneha. It doesn't have all the properties, let's say, of a door. The Gemara is going to explain exactly what it is missing. Hanigreret, it is dragging, en no'alin ba. You cannot use it on Shabbat to close the door, even if it has hinges. Hidush, why? Because this doesn't look like a door. It looks more like a plank, or just a slab of wood. And therefore, if you're going to close it, even if it has a hinge, it still looks like bone. So the Gemara says, "Echi deme delet almana." What makes a door a widowed door? Ika de amri. Some say dehad shipa. It is made from just one piece, which means it's just like I said, a slab. Just one piece of wood, not fashioned, not, you know, fashioned in the shape of it. Just one slab of wood. Had shipa, from one slab of wood. That she's lashon is asuya mekeresh ehad. One log. Dacha badai mechzike boneh. For sure it looks like you're building. Venatan keresh bakotel. It's like you just took a log and you stuck it into the walls. Something like a delet. Vika de amri. Some say, what is a delet almana? Delet. I'm sorry. Delet le gishma. It doesn't have cross beams to attach the two parts of it, which means it seems the doors. I don't know if we have a picture of this in the Pirush Chai. I can't imagine the doors here. But as she says, Gishma Birihim. Birihim are literally like bolts to hold the slats together. Instead, you're attaching the, you know, it could be a cross, like they put pieces of wood in order to, or over the top to keep the door, posts that are going across. So instead, they're doing it with nails. They're keeping the door together with nails. It's not a normal door, that's the point. And therefore, the Gemara is telling you such a door, even if it has hinges, if it's dragging, it is going to be asur. Now the Gemara is going to discuss other isurim. We're leaving doors now. Now we're going into other issues of boneh on Shabbat. One of the issues of boneh is making an ohel. It is forbidden to make like a tent on Shabbat. Even ohel arai, a temporary ohel, is also asur. Again, from the Torah, only binyan keva is asur. The rabbis came along and they said even making an ohel arai is forbidden. Now we're going to discuss some ohel arai cases. Amar Yehuda, hay midurta. Okay, a person is making a bonfire. Now, how do you make a bonfire in the olden days? So what they do is they take, it's all made out of wood. They would make walls out of wood, like on all four sides, and then they would put wood on top like a roof, and then they'd have the fire come out from the middle area. So the problem is, when you put the walls, and then you put the roof of wood across, so you are making an ohel. It's a structure with walls, and now it has a roof on top. It's an ohel arai. Obviously, we're discussing a case on Yom Tov, where it's permissible to make fire, but it's forbidden to make ohel. So the Gemara is going to tell you, there is a way to make this midurta in a kosher way. Meaning, even though it's ohel arai, but if you do it bederech shinui, if you do it in the not normal way, it's okay. So what would the not normal way be? The Gemara is going to say, stand there with the roof first. Take the pieces of wood and hold it over there above where you want to have it, and then add the walls afterwards. Now that's not the normal way you make an ohel. Normally you make walls followed by the roof, by putting the roof first. So that's the way it's mutar. So the Gemara says, "Hai midurta mima'la lemata shari." Making it from up to down is mutar, meaning roof first, then walls, it's okay. Mimata lemala asir. But from bottom to top asur, meaning walls first and then roof, is asur. What's the point? Shinui. Next place. Vechen bi'ata. Now bi'ata literally is an egg. A person wants to cook eggs on Yom Tov. Okay? It's cooking. You're allowed to cook on Yom Tov. Now, what does he want to do? He has, let's say, a fire, and he sets up like posts on the side made out of metal, and he's going to put the eggs on top in order to roast them. The problem is when he puts the eggs on top, he's making an oil now over the fire. And he has like the tripod set up on the side, the fire in the middle, and it's opened. So he puts the eggs on top. We have a picture of this in the Pirush Hai. In the Pirush Hai, it's picture number 56. You see this structure over here with the eggs on top? Like a hollow tripod there with the coals in between. So by putting the eggs on top, now it's a roof. So the Gemara says the same thing. That what? You have to hold the eggs there first and then put the tripod, let's say, underneath it because it's done bederech shinui. Vechen kidra. The same thing would be with a kedera. Same thing, instead of putting eggs on top, you're putting a pot on top, and the pot is making the roof. You have to hold the pot there first, over the fire, and then bring the walls around it subsequently. Vechen puria. What is puria? A bed. Now, this, a collapsible bed, exactly. This bed was made out of leather. That's the mattress is leather. And they would attach the leather with like hooks, loops and hooks across the whole whole perimeter of the frame. Now when they're doing that, they're forming a oil underneath it. So therefore they're telling you, what are you supposed to do? Bring the top, bring the leather piece there, and then bring the bed underneath it, and then tie it. You want to see what this bed looks like? They have a picture over here of this type of bed. Basically, it's like has a frame, has a leather piece on top, and they would attach it to the post. Yeah, it's a collapsible bed. Okay. Last case, vechen habita. For that matter, the case of barrels. Guy wants to stack barrels on Shabbat. So he takes one barrel on the left side, one barrel on the right side, and he wants to put one barrel in between on top. Now when he puts that barrel on top, he's making an ohel underneath it. You want to see the picture of that? It's also in your Pirush Hai, number 60, just to get a clarity. All right, so there's an ohel now under the top barrel. So what are you supposed to do? Hold the top barrel first, and then put the two underneath it in order to do it mishinu. So all these dinim have the same common denominator. Comes the Gemara. Once already we discussed Lashon, called a hitka. We said that that's a thorn bush-like. So now the Gemara is going to tell us a story about the word hedka and thorns. Amar le'ahut siduki Rabbi Yoshua ben Hananya. Certain siduki, non-believer in the Torah Sheba'al Peh, he came to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Hananiah, who was known to be a very outspoken rabbi against the Tzidukim. So he said, Hidka'a. He refers to him as Hidka'a. He says, you thorny person. Dichtiv bechu, because it says about you in the Pasuk in Micha, Tobam kehedik. It says the good ones amongst the Jewish people, meaning that Tzadikim are like hedik, are like thorns. So therefore he uses that Pasuk Micha to needle Rabbi Yehoshua. He calls him a Hidka'a. Amar leh. So Rabbi Yehoshua tells him, Shatia. He tells him, you shote, you fool. Shfil lesefe dekra. Why don't you read the end of the pasuk that you're quoting? Dichtim, because it says at the end, Yashar mimesucha, which means the straight ones amongst the Jewish people are better than a sukkah. Just like a sukkah protects its inhabitants, so too the Jewish people that tzaddikim are better than a sukkah. So therefore, obviously, you see the pasuk is coming to praise the tzaddikim and not deride them. Ve'elamai tovam kehedek. Oh, so what does it mean? They're good like thorns. Keshem shachadakim alalu meginim ala pirtza. So too, like the thorn bush protects the breach in the wall, so animals do not penetrate it. Kach tovim shevanu. So too, the tzaddikim amongst us meginim alenu. They protect us like a thorn bush. Davar acher. Tovam kehedek means that the good people amongst us, the tzaddikim, shemehadekin et harsha'im legeinam, which means we know that the het and the hair are interchangeable. So instead of reading it tovam kehedek, read it tovam kehedek, or hedek means to crush, which means the tzaddikim, they have the ability, they grind up the Rishaim into Geinam, which means they cause the Rishaim to have a bigger helik in Geinam, which means the Hakamim tell us, Maharsha says, based on the Gemara Hagigah, that the Rishaim don't only inherit their own Geinam, but they get the helik of Geinam of the Tzaddikim as well. So therefore, the tzaddikim bequeathed to the reshaim a helik in Geinam. So therefore, it says tovam kehedek. The tzaddikim, they crush the reshaim in Geinam. They grind them. Shnei Emar, and he quotes a pasuk from Micha as well. Kumi vadoshi, rise up and grind. Ladush is to grind. Batzion, daughter of Zion. Ki karnech asim barzel, your horns are going to be Barzel, iron, uparsotai chasim nechusha, and your strides are going to be out of copper. Vahadikot amim rabim, and you're going to trample many nations. So you see what? The Jewish, the Tzaddikim, have the ability to destroy not only the Sha'im, but other nations as well. And now we continue to the next Mishnah. Next subject is going to discuss the issue of going from one domain to another domain on Shabbat. Lo ya'amod adam b'rishut yachid. A person should not stand in the private domain. V'yiftach b'rishut rabim. And open a door that's in the rishut rabim. We mentioned this on the previous amudim. Right, where a person is standing in the Rishut Yahid and the key is in the Rishut Rabim. He just sticks his hand over, lifts up the key and he wants to open the door, and then I'll just drop the key in the Rishut Rabim. It's Asur. Why? Gizerah, we're worried that he might bring the key towards him, that already he's taking something from the Rishut Rabim to the Rishut Yahid. Now the opposite case is also true. Birishut Rabim, v'yiftach Birishut Yahid. Nor can he stand in the public domain and stick his hand in the Rishut Yahid and open the door and drop the key. Gizera again, he might bring the key towards him. Ela imken asam nechitza gavoa asara tefachim. Unless, in the case where he's standing in the Rishut Rabim, he made thin walls, like you see in your picture books number 357. Now those walls that he made for himself, partition him into a Rishut Yahid. So therefore he's standing in the Rishut Yahid. So therefore you have no problem to open the door that's in the reshut the Yahid, because even if he brings the key out towards him, he's bringing it into a reshut Hayahid. So that's the Bimir Shita. You can only stand in the reshut of the beam if somehow you made it a reshut the Yahid by putting up walls. And Kin Asam Nahitsa Gavawa Asarat Tefahim. The walls have to be 10 Tefahim high. Divrei Rabbi Meir. That's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Amru lo, so the rabbis come along to Rabbi Meir. And they tell him, Ma'ase b'shuk shel patamim. There was a story that took place in the marketplace of butchers. Katsamim, those are the butchers. Shaya b'Yerushalayim, which is in Jerusalem. Shayu no'alim. They used to lock their doors, right? They used to stand in the Reshut Rabbim. They used to close their doors and lock them. Umanihin et ha-mafteach b'halon sh'al gabei ha-petach. And they would store the key on the window that was above the door. Now that window was considered a Reshut Yahid. It was 10 tefachim high, the window, and it was 4 tefachim wide. So what do you see over here? A fellow was standing in the Reshut Rabbim. On Shabbat, they would open the store. While they're opening the store, that's another question. But what would they do? Well, they would lock the store. But what would they do? They would stand in the Reshut Rabbim, take the key from the window, which is a Reshut Yahid. They would go and open the door and put the key back. So you see what? They didn't make any type of gizera that you might bring the key towards them into the Reshut Harabim. Mm. So that's the question of the Hachemim. Well, that's actually the story of the Hachemim. Comes the Gemara Mishnah and says, Rabbi Yosef Omer, Shuk Shel Tzamarim Hava. He's, I agree with the story, but just one detail. It wasn't the butcher's market, it was the wool market. Okay, but the besides that, the facts are the same, that they put it on the windowsill, and on Shabbat they were sitting in Shuta Yahid, and open up the door. Comes the Gemara and says, Gemara's going to analyze the story. V'rabbanan, they're trying to question Rabbi Meir, right? And they're bringing a question from the Shuk of Yerushalayim. The Gemara says, what kind of proof is that? Rabbi Meir has a very easy answer to that story. Amar Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir can say, Reshut HaRabim, meaning, Rabbi Meir was discussing Reshut HaRabim. Umehadru inu Karmelit, and they answered the case of a Karmelit. What was Rabbi Meir's case? You can't stand in the Reshut HaRabim and open the door in the Reshut Yahid. So the rabbi said, oh, well, we have a story from the Shuk of Yerushalayim. Hold it. The Shuk of Yerushalayim is not a Reshut HaRabim. Yerushalayim has the status of a Karmelit. So therefore, what's your question? You're bringing me a case where they went from a Karmelit to a Reshut Yahid? That's how you want to question Rabbi Meir. Who says Yerushalayim has the status of a Karmelit? We'll see that immediately. But that's the Gemara's question. Amar Rabbi Meir Reshut HaRabim Umehadru Inu Karmelit? Why? The Amar Rabba Barhana Amar Rabbi Yohanan Yerushalayim Ilmale Daltotea Nin'alot Balayla. If it wasn't for the fact that at night the doors of Jerusalem are locked, Hayavim aleha, it would be considered hayav, meaning if somebody carried 4 amot mishum reshut rabim, which means what makes Jerusalem permissible? The fact that it has doors that are closed at night, and therefore you're not hayav to treat it as a reshut rabim, but it's considered a karmelit, and therefore Yerushalayim, we see clearly, the doors just make it a non-Reshut HaRabim. Fine. And if it didn't have the, if it had the doors but they weren't locked every night, it would be a full-fledged Reshut HaRabim. Why? Because it's opened. It's exactly like the Midbar. What's the Midbar's Reshut HaRabim? Accessible. From one end to the other. The fact that they would close the doors of Jerusalem, so now it's not domed to the Reshut HaRabim of the Midbar, because it is closed. However, you cannot consider it either a Reshut Yahid. And therefore they consider it a Karmelit. It's like a public, quasi-public domain. And therefore, what do you see? Rabbi Meir said, you can't go from a Reshut HaRabim and stand and open up some Reshut Yahid. So I can't come along and say, oh, what do you mean? Yerushalayim they did it, that's a Karmelit. Maybe the Bimir agrees in a Karmelit. That's only rabbinical domain. So comes the Gemara and says, I get it, and it makes sense that the Bimir will not be Gozer. Why? Because anyway, it's a Gezerah le Gezerah. Because carrying in the Karmelit itself is a Gezerah de Rabbanan. So now you're going to tell me I can't stand in the Karmelit and put my hand into the Shuti Gezerah that I might go from the Shuti to a Karmelit, even to go from an Ishtut Yahid to a Karmelit is the Rabbanan. Now you're going to make a Gezerah that I might, that's a Gezerah li Gezerah. So could be, Rabbi Meir agrees. So Hakami, what's your proof? Comes the governor and says, Amar Papa, Kan Kodem Shenefretzu Ba Peratzot, Kan Nahal Shenefretzu Ba Peratzot. We're talking about two different points in history. One's before the walls were breached, and one is after the walls were breached. Our Mishnah is talking about after the walls were breached. Once the walls were breached of Yerushalayim, it turned back into a full-fledged Reshut Rabim. Because now the doors don't do anything. Because now there's breaches in the walls, it's accessible and it's opened on both sides. So therefore they brought him a good proof. Look. Rava gives a different answer. Rava Amar Sefa Atan L'sha'are gina. She's the Sefa case. You're right. It's not coming to prove an issue to the Beam story. It's coming to prove a garden case. Stam garden is a karmelit. Okay? And how is it being said? V'achi ka'amar. V'chen lo ya'amod b'rishut yahid v'yiftach b'karmelit. B'karmelit v'yiftach b'rishut yahid. No, these words are missing from our text. But the Mishnah, according to this answer, is saying that Bi Meir not only forbade standing in the Reshut Yahid to a Reshut Yahid to a Rabim, or Rabim to Yahid, but even he forbade a Yahid to a Karmelit and a Karmelit to a Yahid. And to that, the Rachamim came along and said, "Elaim ken asa mi'itzag bo asarat al-fahim." Unless they made the Karmelit a Reshut Yahid by putting walls. The very Bi Meir. אמרו לו מעשה בשוק של פטמים שהיה בירושלים שהיו נועלים ומניעים את המפתח בחלון שעל גבי הפתח, and they would put it on top of the פתח, means Yerushalayim was considered a Karmelit, and still they were allowing them to stand in the Karmelit to open the door which is in the Reshut היחיד. רבי יוסי אומר שוק של סמרים. רבי יוסי says, okay, that wasn't a, it wasn't a butcher's market, it was a wool market. But what do you see from over here? According to Rava's answer, according to Rava's answer, Rabbi Meir is also osir from a Karmelit. Yes, we don't have that text. The Hadush of the Gemara is, add that in. That Rabbi Meir is osir everything. And if you don't have to say we're talking about two different eras of Jerusalem. We're talking when Jerusalem was indeed a Karmelit. And that's what they were trying to say. They were trying to say that what? You are osir. Meaning, it comes out of Bimi makes a gezerah le gezerah. That he's osir even to stand in a rabbinical domain and open the door that's in a. He's worried that you might come to take the key to yourself. Rabbinically, it is forbidden to go from a reshut yahid to a karmelit. You are standing in a karmelit. The door is in a reshut yahid. You cannot stand in the karmelit and open the door. Gezerah, you might bring the key towards you. If you bring the key towards you, you're going from a Reshut Yahid to a Karmelit. That is Isur Mid Rabbanan. So Rabbi Meir is Osir as well on that. To that, Achamim said, what are you talking? Maaseh, in the Shuk of Yerushalayim, which is a Karmelit, and they allowed it. Comes the Gemara and continues. Tanu Rabbanan. We have a Braita. Pithe sha'are gina, which literally means the petachim, the doors, the gates of a garden. What do these gates do? They give you access into the garden from the Reshut Rabim. The garden has a din of a karmelit. Okay? Bizman chiesh laim bet sha'ar mibifnim. Now, if let's say in the garden itself, that's mibifnim, on the garden side, you have what's called a bet sha'ar. It's like a little hut in the garden that it has the dimensions of a reshut yahid. Okay, so let's get the picture in our minds, because I don't think they give us a picture in the books. Picture number 68. Let's look at it together, gentlemen, just to get a clarity. You see it, reshut rabim. Okay, there's a wall, there's a door that opens up into a garden. Gardens are kind of amazing, but in the garden itself, against that wall on the garden side, there's a little bet sha'ar, they call that. That bet sha'ar is like a hut, and it has a din of a reshut hayahid. Okay? Now, let's just look at the pictures while we have the book opened. The next picture, picture number 69, is the same case, but the bet sha'ar is opened on the reshut rabim side. You see that, right? Now, what's going to be the nafka mina between the cases? We read, Tanu Rabbanan, Petche Sha'ar Gina. You have the gates that open up into a garden. Bizman Chieshlem Bet Sha'ar Mibifneem. When you have this hut that's Rishut Yahid, that's on the inside, on the garden side, Poteyach Venoel Mibifneem. It is permissible for a person that it is in that Bet Sha'ar, which is Rishut Yahid, he could take the key, right, open the door of the garden, and he doesn't have a problem. Why? Because he's in the Shuti Yachid, and what's the problem? Even if he brings the key towards him that's on the door, no problem. However, Mibahutz, if let's say the Bet Sha'ar is on the outside, Poteyach Venoel, Mibahutz, no problem. He could still stand in that hut on the outside. He's a Shuti Yachid. It's not a Shuti Yachid, he's in the hut. Open the door, and there's no gezerah because of the Shuti Yachid. Good. Poteh v'nu'el mibachutz. However, mikan, continue. Mikan u'mikan. Let's say you have a bet sha'ar on both sides. So poteh v'nu'el, kan v'kan. Then you can open the door on any side that you want. En lahen, lo lechan v'lo lechan. Oh, if you don't have on any side, Asurim kan vekan. Whether the guys on the inside or whether the guys on the outside. Why? Because if the guys on the inside is standing in a karmelit, so what's going to happen? He's going to bring the key from the area of the door inside to the karmelit. Gezerah. Now if the guys on the outside, certainly you're going to bring from the door into the Nishut Rabim. So the only way we allow to open up this gate of the garden is through a bet sha'ar. Comes the Gemara and says, Vechen hanuyot hapituchot nirshut rabim. Hanuyot literally is stores that are opened up to the nirshut rabim. Bizman sheham man'ul. The man'ul is the actual lock. Now, in the olden days, you have the door and you have the ask a box. The lock is like a, you have the picture, oh, you have the picture of it in your picture books would be number 358. You have like a box where the key goes into. In your art scrolls also you have a picture. In your Pirush Chai, yes, Pirush Chai number 70 is a good picture. You see over here, Hanuyot, the Pituchot Reshut Rabim. You have this door. Let's get the whole picture once, then we'll see all the terminology in the Gemara. You have your door. You have that box where they put the key in. Now pay attention, we're going to make a difference if that box is above 10 or lower than 10. Because that's going to affect the status of that box. Is it a Reshut Yachid or is it a Karmelit? You have a window on top. Right? You see the window on top? That's where they would sometimes store the key. Right? Like we do sometimes, you put it on top of the doorpost. So we put it in the window area. And in front of the door, you have what's called an eskupa. Eskupa would be a stoop. Now that stoop has the status of a karmelit. Right, so get the case of the hanut. You have three factors working over. You have the eskupa in front, you have the door itself with this lock box, and you have the halon that is on top. Now the Gemara is going to analyze. V'chen hanuyot ha-pituchot v'reshut rabim. Bizman sheham man'ul lemata me'asara. If the lock box is less than 10, and therefore less than 10, 4 by 4 has a status of a Karmelit, mevi maftayah me'erev Shabbat. So then you can bring the key from before Shabbat. Umaniho be'eskupa. Leave it on the stoop. The stoop is also a Karmelit, and therefore lemahar poteyah venu'el. Take the key, stand on that skupa, take the key, open up the door, and then mahziro l'eskupa, and then take the key back and put it on that skupa. No problem, you're going from a Karmelit to a Karmelit. There is no even rabbinical restriction on that. Ubizman shamman'u lima'la mi'asara. If the box of the lock is higher than 10, now the box is considered a reshuti yahid. And therefore, even if you're going to put the key on the eskupa from before Shabbat, right, you're going to open the door, right, now it's going to be forbidden to bring it back to the eskupa, because you're going from a reshuti yahid to a karmelit. So therefore, it says over there, what's your option? Mevi maftayah me'erev Shabbat. Bring the key from before Shabbat. Umaniho b'man'ul. Leave it on the box. Leave it on the box itself. The box is wide enough to have a little key on it, like I said. Lemahar poteyah v'nu'il. You're standing on the eskupa, yeah?
Yeah?
Stick your hand over, take the key out, open the lock, and put the key back on the box. Oh, so right away we should be bothered with a question. What do you mean devrei rabbi meir? Until now we're learning, according to the way Rav understood the Mishnah, that Rabbi Meir holds even from Karmelit to Reshut Yahid is a problem. And now we're seeing it's okay. The Gemara is going to ultimately say from here we learn Rabbi Meir was Chozer. Rabbi Meir must have retracted from his Shitan, the Mishnah, and therefore he's saying it's permissible to go to stand in Karmelit and open the door from the Reshut Hayahid. We continue. V'chamim omrim. Hachamim say, af bizman shamman'u lemala ma'asarat tefahim. The rabbis say, even if the lock is above 10 tefahim, mevi maftayah me'erev Shabbat u'manicho be'askupa, leave the key on the askupa from before, lemahar poteach v'no'el u'mahziro limkomo. Because the rabbis, they don't make a gezerah from a karmelit to a reshut yahid, which means the hachamim are even more lenient. They say you don't have to keep the key on the box itself. Mimi said no. Above 10, keep it on the box. The chidush of Mimi, she doesn't make a gezerah that you might come to bring the key to you. Hachamim come along and say, even keep the key on the askupa, and you'd be allowed to go on Shabbat, stand on the askupa, and open the door, which is in the reshut yahid, u'mahzironim kamo. And then you can bring it back to the askupa. You have no problem to bring it from the, because you didn't leave it in the reshut yahid. You're still holding it in your hand. You're just opening up the door and you're bringing it back to the kamid. You didn't make any hanaha in the reshut yahid. They're going to be hayav that would even be rabbinically forbidden as a transfer. Good. Or another option. Instead of bringing the key back to the askupa, put it b'halon shal gabei petach. Put it on the windowsill above the door. Now, im yesh b'halon arba'a al arba'a asur. However, if the area by the window is 4x4, meaning it's considered a reshut hayahid, it's going to be asur mipnei shehu kimotzi mirshut reshut. Why? You took the key from the eskupa, now you're putting it on top of the window there, on the ledge, that's 4x4, is reshut yahid. So you went from a karmelit to a reshut yahid, that is asur midrabanan. So the only way the rabbis will allow you to put it on the windowsill is if it is less than 4. Less than 4, then it still has a din of a karmelit, and therefore it'll be no problem. Actually, it'll have a din of a mekom petur, actually, because since it's higher than 10 and it's less than 4, so then already we have no problem. That's the shitot. Comes the Gemara and says, midkamar v'chen hanuyot. Right? From the fact that the Braita brought the case of Hanuyot, Mechlal de Be'eskupat Karmelit Askina. It must be we're talking about a case where there is an Eskupa in front of the Hanuyot, which means, Vechen means, and so too. Now, this was said in a Braita that was discussing gardens. Now, gardens are clearly a Karmelit. So when it says Vechen Hanuyot, Vechen means we're playing off that case of the gardens. So it must be where you're standing in front of the store is also like a garden, meaning it is a Karmelit. How? There must be an Eskupa in front of the store. Get the picture of the store. You have the Eskupa, and you have the box, right, where they have the key. Oh, so the Gemara analyzes now. What's the shi'ur of the box that's in the door? The lock. Idelet be arba. If it doesn't have four tefahim, it's not 4x4. Mekom peturu. This mekom petur. It's above 10, or even less than 10. Even less than 10. If it doesn't have 4x4 tefahim, it's the status of a mekom petur. Once it's a mekom petur, why would the Bimi'ir say you can't leave the key on the Eskupa? What's your problem? You're going from a Karmelit to a Mekom Petur. Even if you bring the key back to you, you went from a Mekom Petur to a Eskupa. No problem. So Gemara says, Mekom Peturu. V'i'it be'arba'a. And if the box had four tefachim, meaning Beha lema rabbanan. In this case, are the rabbis going to say af bizman shaman ole mala ma'asara mevi maftayach me'erev Shabbat umaniho be'askupa? That what? Bring the key from before Shabbat, leave it on the askupa. Lemachar poteach v'noel bo umazol askupa o lachalon shegabe apetach ve'akametaltel mekarmelit leshuti yachid. Which means, how then if the box is 4x4? What did the rabbi say? No problem. You have two options. Bring the key before Shabbat to the Karmelit, put it on the Eskupa, open the door, and put it back. Oh, by putting the key in the door, that's considered Hanahad B'Rishut HaYahid. How then would you be allowed to bring it back to the Eskupa? You're going from Rishut HaYahid to a Karmelit. So we want to know, what is the case of these Hanuyot over here with that box of the lock? Less than four, even the Rabbi Meir should be Mekel, to leave it on the Eskupa. More than four, even Hakamim should be Oser, to leave it on the Eskupa, because how could you bring it back? Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Le'olam de'en bo arba'a, ve'yesh bo lahuk ul hashlimo la'arba'a. It doesn't have the width of 4x4. But it has the space to chisel. Meaning it has thickness that if you chisel, you know, into the wall a little, you can get for yourself a 4x4. You have a picture in the art scroll? Yes, which is a nice picture there. Right? You see the lock. Now you see there's room over there to... the groove, right? To chisel, to get you... 3, 4. On its own, the box is less. Let's say it's 2 tefachim. But the wall itself has thickness. So you can chisel through and get 2 more. So now we have a mahloket. We have a picture in the books. Good. 358 gives you the same picture. Very nice. And this is the mahloket between the bimir and hachamim. Ir sabar hokekim lehashlim. He says, you consider it hakuk, and therefore it's considered 4. And therefore, it's going to be asur to leave the key on the askupa, because if you're going to open the door and bring it back, you're going from a reshut yahid to a karmelit. What do you mean? It doesn't have 4. Doesn't matter. Hokekim lehashlim. And therefore, it's going to be asur. Ah. The Rabbanan say no. Less than 4, It's less than four. You could chisel? We don't consider it as if it's chiseled. And therefore what? It's considered a mekom petur. Right? 10 high, less than four, it's a mekom petur. Therefore, leave the key on the eskupa. What's going to happen on Shabbat? You're going to go and open the door? So what? You went from mekom petur, you put it back on the eskupa, no problem to go from mekom petur to a karmelit. Whereas according to the Bimeir, even if it's less than four, you're going to have a problem. Because less than four, it's shayach to be chokek, is a reshut yachid. So therefore, your option to leave it on the karmelit itself is no good. So what did they do in that case? Leave it on the box. So now it's on the reshut yachid already. Therefore, you stand in the karmelit, and you open the door, and you just leave it there. Oh, but what do you see? The Bimeir had a change of heart here. Because he's allowing you to stand on an eskupa and open a door into a karmelit area. That differs from the way we learned in the Mishnah. That means must be the Bimeir made a hazara, according to one opinion. Abba. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rabbi Bai Barabaye, Shmakmina Mahamat Nita Tlat. From this braita you could learn three dinim. Shmakmina Chokekin Lehashlim. Number one, you learn the din of Chokekin Lehashlim according to Hakamim, who the halakha is like, that what? That it's, if it's, or according to Bimeir at least. The question is, that would be the question then. I mean, Kedat to Bimeir. Okay, at least you see a shita that's out there that says it's possible if you have less, you can chisel potentially and make it more. So you see a seven of Chokekin Lashlim. Ushma'mina Hadar Bere Bimeir Mishari Gina. The Bimeir must have went back from his Gina case, where originally, according to the text of the Mishnah, if a person was standing in a garden, which is a Kamerit, right? So you would not be able to open the door from the other side unless you had a Neshut Yahid area that you were in, going from Neshut Yahid to Neshut Yahid, because he did not allow you to go from one domain to a Kamerit. He must have retracted, because he was allowing you to stand on the Askupa and open the door. Vishmatmina midrabanan ita liravdimi. And we learned the third thing, that the rabbis that are going to be Meir must hold like Ravdimi. What does Ravdimi say? Tichiyata Ravdimi, when Ravdimi came from Eretz Yisrael, Amar Rabbi Yohanan, makom she'en bo arba'a al arba'a, mutal libne reshut harabim, ve libne reshut yachid de katef halav, ובלבד שלא יחליפו. We had this several times. If you have a mekom petur in the middle, and you have a reshut yachid on one side, and a reshut rabim on the other side of it. So it says, the members of the reshut yachid could put their load on the mekom petur. No problem. And the members of the reshut rabim as well can put their load on the mekom petur. ובלבד שלא יחליפו. However, they can't transfer, which means the guy in the Reshut Rabim can't put his stuff on the Mekom Petur, and then from the Mekom Petur bring it to the Reshut Rabim. Now, technically, it should be Mutar, because what am I doing? I'm going from Yahid to Petur, Petur to Rabim. But they made a Gezerah that you might go direct. Hachamim must subscribe to Ravdimi. Why? Because what did they say? Take the key from the Askupa. Open the door, which is a mekom petur, and then bring it back and put it on the eskupa. Why? You should be allowed to even leave it on the window, or leave it on the the box is mekom petur. Yeah, the window above, if it's even 4x4, which is the shuti yahid, why not? I'm going from a kermelik to a mekom petur, and then a mekom petur to a shuti yahid. From the fact that the rabbi said you got to bring it back, they must hold like Levdimi, that you can't use a Mekom Petur as a bridge to go from one domain to the other domain. You can only use it from the one domain and bring it back to it. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen v'amen. To all our listeners of the Daf HaYomi, to make Masechet Eruvin a little easier, we are using a Sefer called HaMa'or HaMevo'ar. It is put out by Me'orot Daf HaYomi. It is available in bookstores. it has a lot of different pictures of the different cases throughout the Masechet. And it goes according to the Dapim. So whenever we mention, and there's also a number next to each picture that goes out, goes throughout the Masechet. So whenever we mention a number of a picture, for example, see picture number 52, we're referring to picture number 52 in that book. So I would advise our listeners to get the Sif and follow along, just so you can know exactly the configuration of the situation that we are talking about, the School of Mitzvot.